Hey y'all, welcome back to the Christ Over Culture podcast. I'm super excited because today we're talking about relationships from a single perspective, and we're talking about situationships too, because I think we all know what that is. And if we don't, it's when you're not really clear. You might be dating somebody, not dating somebody. It's gray area. You date multiple people, you think you're single, all confusion, all situationships, that's what it is. So we have two special guests here in the studio today from a woman and a male's perspective, so we're going to hop into the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So we're about to get into a real conversation about relationships, situationships from a single perspective. So first of all, is anybody in a relationship in here or in the studio, or are we all single?
I'm very single.
I'm going to just say I'm in a relationship.
Okay. Cool. This is perfect.
Now we get the truth out of it.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this is perfect. I'm single, so I'm glad we have different perspectives here. We are going to play a game for this podcast called The Struggle is Real and Keeping It Real, and we're going to pull topics, and we're just going to flow with the conversation. Sound good?
Good.
All right. When the topic is pulled, the struggle is real means, look, the struggle is real. Like, this is something not either millennials, us as millennials, we struggle with, or it's difficult for us, or we could talk about it. And keeping it real is what the Bible says, and a little bit maybe about our experience if we were able to overcome certain situations. All right. So I'm going to have you introduce yourselves, tell your age, and we'll get started with the game.
Okay. My name is Kalia Fontenot, and I am 28 years old.
My name is Carl Williams, and I am 25 years old.
Cool. And I'm Michelle Linnae, and I'm 25. So, Kalia, we're going to start with you. Pick!
Okay. Same-sex relationship. Okay. So, keeping it real with scripture, right?
Keeping it real with scripture.
So, the struggle is real.
Oh, the struggle is real.
I'm going to go with the struggle is real.
Okay. Why is the struggle real?
So, I think homosexuality has become very, it has become more, not necessarily common, but people are more comfortable with being a openly homosexual. That's a good way to put it. You know, people, it used to be kind of like a shameful thing. I read this article the other day, and he was just saying how he had an uncle that was gay. But it was back in the day, like 90s, 80s, that sort of thing. You know, you didn't talk about it. You were gay, and you kept it under wraps. And he was kind of ashamed, and he never really told anyone. But then when he died from AIDS, it was kind of like a blow. You know, he wouldn't tell anyone he got it from a same-sex relationship. He would hide it and say, oh, it was from blood transfusion. But now, it's like, you really don't have anything to say about it. And lately, I've been exploring my identity as a Christian, a feminist, a woman, and being Black.
That was intersectionality.
That is a lot.
Yeah,
and
a whole lot.
In doing that, I discovered that I'm also a humanitarian. So I'm going to respect everybody. I'm going to celebrate everybody. So if that's, I guess I don't want to say the life you choose to lead, because God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's necessarily like a life you choose to lead, because I choose to lead a life as well, per se.
Yeah.
So I think separating homosexuality and trying to put people who are homosexual into a category and kind of separate them from the masses, I don't think that's fair, because they're still people at the end of the day, and they deserve to be respected in every way possible. And that's why I stand with it. I don't judge, I celebrate everybody, I love everybody, and that's just who I am. I feel like with all of those labels that I put on myself, I owe it to any and everybody to honor and respect who they are.
Carl, I see that keeping it real sign lighting up.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the keeping it real side of things, and this is because scripturally, it's wrong. And I agree with you that we shouldn't categorize or put people into this place and then tell them that they're not worthy or make them feel bad, anything like that. Because also in Romans 8, it also says Romans 14, I'm sorry, you're supposed to have open arms and love people back to the church. You're supposed to love people back to wholeness and not condemn them and cast them down and try to beat them down and try to and call them out of their name, call them out of what God has called them to be. But we can't sit there and say, oh, you can do this and it's okay. You can be a homosexual and it's okay. You can be a fornicator, it's okay. You can lie and it's okay. And I think we have gotten so far away from the Word of God and what the Word of God says that we're going to just accept anything and everything that people do. And people are scared now. It's a shame that we live in a time where you can't even speak out on your religion about how you feel about something without offending somebody. And it's not because I actually want to offend you. I just want to tell you the truth from what the Word of God says. The same Bible that you read. You serve the same God that I serve. You go to the same church that I go to, but you want to ignore this part? And that's the thing that I have a problem with. And it's not just with homosexuals. It's with fornicators. It's with thieves, lies. Everybody has picked a certain section of the Bible that they want to attribute to their life, and they forget that the whole Bible is for you. All of it is for you, and every part of it is meant to guide you. And you can't pick what fits your life. You can't just pick I'm gonna just go with this part because that's what I like. No. But it also talks in the Bible, your conviction is not my conviction. Mm-hmm. Your conviction might be to not eat certain foods. So guess what? You shouldn't eat those certain foods. And me, knowing that that's your conviction, I shouldn't eat those foods in front of you, because if God is love, I shouldn't put you in a situation where you can stumble, where you can fall. That's the issue that I have with it. That's what keeping it real is to me. Keeping it real is the word. What does the word say? Not what you say, not how you feel. What does the word say it is?
Well, I guess my issue comes with that is, again, it's with the categorizing. You know, it's like, oh, these homosexuals are ignoring this part of the Bible. So are the fornicators.
I just
so
said
are the gamblers. So are everybody else. But I feel like it's always just such an, and I feel like homosexuals probably feel the same way, it's always such an attack on them, especially when it comes to the church. Yeah, everybody, they may hint, oh, stop having sex before marriage. Oh, don't cuss. Oh, don't be in the club drinking and doing this. But if you gay, it's like, oh my God, it's just like you just committed such this horrendous and horrible thing. And you know, at the end of the day, there's still people and they're all still struggling. Yeah. Like in whatever way, and they may not think homosexuality is a struggle per se, but we all still going through things. We all still fighting our own separate battles. And I don't think it's fair to, you know, to just judge them so harshly, you know, or make it seem like, you know, oh, this is just horrible. You know, it says this, that, and the third. Like, I can't even call out the scripture for fornication. You know what I'm saying? But you can go so many different paths.
What's the scripture?
This is a whole chapter. Galatians 5. You can go read it.
Okay, Galatians 5.
Galatians 5. It will change.
Everybody.
I read it on the way to Dallas last year. It was November, on the way to a Running Records conference. And I just whipped the Bible open and I started reading Galatians 5, and it wasn't just fornication, it was the thoughts.
Right. Yeah, I read it.
Lustful thoughts. Lustful thoughts, all of that. And it didn't just hit on fornication, it hit on every little thing that you could possibly do. Mm-hmm. And once you read those things, and once you've read those things, now you know these things, which means you're going to be judged more over than the next person that didn't know.
So
once you've read it, you've educated yourself, you edified yourself, it's up to you to choose to do right. That is what my problem comes from when we're talking about homosexuals in the church. If you're not actively trying to do right. I'm not saying that I'm doing right in everything, because I'm not. I'm trying. I'm not accepting my sin and saying that's just who I am and I'm just going to live with it. But that's where some people as Christians have a problem with. They look at it, and I'm not saying that's what I think, but they look at it, and when somebody's saying they're going to get married, They just accepting it. And they're just going to say, this is what it is. I'm just going to be okay with this. And I'm going to still read my Bible. And I'm going to just be okay with, I have just, it's basically tattooing sin to you. And just saying, this is it. This is it. I'm not going to change. I'm not even going to try to change. I'm just going to embrace it and go with it. That to me means what? That's like a slap in the face. That God, look, I fornicate. Get over it.
So many people do that, though.
Yeah, but we do that with a lot of
things. But that's what I said in the beginning. We do it with fornicating. We do it in stealing. We do it with all kinds of things.
Cheating, yeah, gambling,
all kinds of things. But the further we get away,
I think a lot of people have a problem with it because the wording that was used when it was mentioned, it's an abomination. Then it was mentioned. Sodom and Gomorrah was burned to
flames because they were practicing.
Think about it. The way it was mentioned in the Word of God. That's why it was such an uprising.
It was very drastic. I think sometimes, like us as millennials, sometimes we may feel like the Bible is unrelatable because it's like, okay, I don't think I'm gonna see New York burn up in flames, right. San Francisco burn up in flames.
And you're right, but it's relative because San Francisco or New York might not burn up in flames. But your lifestyle and everything that in it and the people that you affect might not ever get what they're supposed to have. You will possibly ruin the legacy. You will ruin any opportunity, any relationship that they will ever have with Christ. Any chance for it.
Can you make that same argument about fornication?
Yes. You can make this. I that's why I said I don't categorize it. It's all.
No, I'm saying like make it because I don't like the attack.
But that was the topic, though. The topic was homosexual relationships.
I know, but my point was that it's always like get on the same sex people, but nobody does the same thing.
Is it because same sex people are the only ones that are pushing for it to be legally okay?
Well, fornicators didn't have to do that.
Well, see, I think sin is sin at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And a lot of times, maybe church people, or this is where we start thinking it's unrelatable. It's like, okay, you say homosexuality, or you try and categorize it and order it. Like, this is worse than stealing. Yeah. This is worse than lying. No, God says sin is sin. So I think it's absolutely right. Like, what my conviction may not be somebody else's conviction. But that's when I think our relationship with Christ kicks in.
Exactly.
That's when you talk to God. That's when you seek His guidance and the Holy Spirit's guidance on what you should be doing in your life. Is this an area we need to work with? Mm-hmm. Okay, God, talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, or if there's other areas in our lives that we need to work on, that's when we consult the Holy Spirit. He's there to give us wisdom, guidance, to talk to us, to speak to us, and let us know where we need to make changes in our lives. So God is love. God is a loving God. He's a forgiving God. But He also holds us accountable, too. There will be a judgment day. And we all have to stand for all the sins and everything that we've done, good and bad. So I think that this is just another thing. It's like we have to love everybody because God calls it. God loved everybody. He was with the cheaters. He was with...
In the streets.
That's exactly how we are as millennials. Like, we are literally in the streets.
With everybody.
And it's up to us to shine the light of God, which is love, tell the truth, keep it real, but also understand that everybody has their own individual relationship with Christ, and that's where it kicks in.
And it's also, as millennials, for us to know if we're going to be in the streets, to not be conformed to the streets.
We are in this world, but we're not of this world.
Yeah, so don't be in the streets and then get sucked into what the streets are doing. And that's what happens with us millennials. On a grander scale, if you look at it all over the world, we get sucked into what the world is doing.
Like what culture tells us.
This is right. Yeah. We get sucked into that.
Right.
And that is another reason why you can go back to the homosexual thing, the fornicating thing. Like, I didn't realize so many people didn't lose their virginity in high school. I thought everybody did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just the thing to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I come out of high school, find out so many of my friends didn't lose their virginity and they was just talking. But I thought it was a social, I thought that was the thing to do.
No, me and my friends were
kind of
slow. We were behind everybody.
Yeah,
me and my friends too.
So. But that's what I'm saying. You could get caught up into what people say to do. The media, what they show you on TV, that can sway you one way or another. Your friends, that can sway you one way or another. Certain churches can sway you one way or another, and especially if your personal relationship is not there. If you haven't developed your horizontal and vertical relationship with God, that could seriously hinder you based on what church you're going to. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important on you to find a church home that speaks to you, whether you're getting the Word of God the way you need to get it, how you're supposed to get it. Because you can find yourself in a place you're not even supposed to be in.
Right. I think it's important for us to know the Word of God for ourselves.
Exactly.
People can tell us everything, but that's when we get swayed. So really, we got to know what the Word says and have that relationship with Christ to help us understand the Word and how it applies to our lives.
Don't tell me what you think. Tell me
good.
The Word.
Good. All right. Let's go to the next topic. This was good. All right.
Red flags when dating.
Woo! All right. Relationships, singleness, situationships. Let's go. All right, Carl. Hit it.
Oh, okay. See, I'm a little shallow, so I'll say that. Real quick, let me say that real quick. I have some very simple ones, so don't judge me, y'all.
This is a no judge though.
No judge. I really am like turned off by a woman that can't hold conversations at all. Like, and I'm not talking about something that happened on TV. If you can't hold a conversation about the Word of God, about something with essence, I really don't want to talk to you too much longer. If I'm sitting there doing all the talking, if I shut up and I keep asking you questions, and you can't give me anything, you can't only just say yes or no, and then you can't expound because that goes past your education or what you know, then I'm having a problem. I have a problem with if you don't take care of your feet. So you come in and you got like chipped toenails.
Which is so weird.
And you got chipped toenails and all of that, your paintings ain't done. Like, I have a problem with it. If you know, like, it's a lot of stuff, man. If you got, honestly, if you just don't have a plan for your life, that for me, if you don't have a plan, you come out and all you want to do is see what I want to do, and you just gonna jump on my bandwagon. You don't have any sense of direction in what you want to do. I don't think that could work. The number one red flag, if you just don't know God, like if you don't go to church, if you don't pray for yourself, you're not reading, that's the number one red flag for me, because I don't date or get in relationships with nobody that I'm not trying to marry. Mm-hmm. And that's always been my walk. It's always been, even in high school, I'm not dating you to just date you. This ain't just for fun. This ain't just for kicks. This is real. Because I'm not wasting my time, and I don't want you to waste mine. I don't want to waste yours. I mean, that's just the way I think. And if you don't have a plan, if you're not reading your word, you're not trying to develop a personal relationship with God, and you can't take care of yourself, meaning your toes and stuff. You know, if you can't take care of yourself, you don't want to take care of yourself, you don't want more for yourself, and you don't know how to have an in-depth conversation, I don't want anything to do with you. Like, it's bad, but I don't want anything to do with an individual that doesn't want to do more, to talk about more, just surface level stuff. No. I don't want to talk about love and hip-hop. I don't want to talk about scandal. I don't want to talk about Orange is the New Black. Let's talk about something real. Investing. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about real estate. Let's talk about stuff that's going to matter in 10 years. Let's talk about that kind of stuff. Can we do that? If we can't do that, then, baby girl, you wasting your time, because I'm going to get boring to you quick.
Do you find that most guys are on that
no.
same wavelength?
I've been told, and I've been told multiple times that no, not a lot of guys 25 are think like that. They say that for me to think like that at 25, I'm old. Matter of fact, a lot of people approach me, and after conversation, they thinking I'm 30-something years old. I always say it's because I'm bald head. But I do. I always say it's because I'm bald head, but a lot of people approach me, and that's what they think. They think it's, like, I'm mature. But I thought that was just the way it was. And maybe that's because of my grandparents and my parents just raised me to be a man and not to waste your time and to get your stuff done. Get it done and marry somebody you love. Make sure they have a relationship with God. Make sure they care about you. If you care about them, they care about you. Go on. Do what you got to do. And you can't, like I said, I'm shallow. I said the toenails. And don't poot around me. Don't pass gas around me. Like,
that's natural.
As far as I know, women don't poot, take dumps, or urinate.
That's real life. That's real life.
I know, but I'm telling you, as far as I know,
you gotta see all of that and more.
I'm not saying I haven't, but I'm saying I want somebody that still remembers to have that class. I don't want my woman sitting up. We on the couch. You fart. Raise your leg. Poop. Burp. All that. Come on now. As a man, I might poop, burp a little something, but I'm still trying to cover my stuff or try to make it to the restroom, poop or something. Like, if I take a dump, let me flush the toilet 3 or 4 times before you get here. Spray a little bit or something. Like, something like that. But that's me. That's me. My parents raised me.
You got some boundaries.
They'll flex for certain people, but I ain't gonna flex too much. I ain't letting my standards down. That's one thing I say. Don't ever let your standards down. Mm. Keep your standards, because the moment you let go of some standards, you can find yourself somewhere. Ooh. Ooh, Lord. Yeah, just don't do that.
That's real. So what about from a single perspective?
I'm very particular.
See?
No, I say particular because I'm very particular on how I spend my time. Mm-hmm. So, at the age I'm at now, and after the dating that I've done, I have been blessed with discernment.
I hear that.
So, it's like, I can immediately weed people out. Like, it's nothing. Like, I can smell you. Like, almost like I know. Like, God has really blessed me in that area. I've always been very, very blessed in that area. Like, especially with, like, reading guys, especially. Mm-hmm. Like, I just know. Like, it's no, like, I know. I can read you. I can tell you how you are in very several aspects of your life. I don't know why. It's a blessing and a curse. You know, I don't really get to date around because I know my time is being wasted, you know? Mm-hmm. But red flags for me, how he talks about women.
Mm-hmm. Give us an example.
Yeah, how he talks about the mother of his child, his ex, the women he's dated, how he refers to women. You say the B word, don't call me, don't contact me ever again. You say garden tool, don't contact me ever again. Your language is really important to me. Because at the end of the day, I feel like you should respect all women. And especially the mother of your child. My mother was a single mother, so I take that very personal. If you have a child, then I'm like, so how's that relationship? Like, if you're not respecting her, then you're not gonna respect me at the end of the day. Like, she gave birth to your child, and if you can't honor and respect her as that person in your child's life, we really can't go anywhere. What else do I look for? Guys that I meet who are physically attracted to me, I don't really pay that any attention either, because I know you're not stopping every pretty face you see. Mm-hmm. You know? So,
that ain't fair.
No, that is very, very
fair. That is not fair, that because in some situations, what if you just are that? Like, what if you just catch his eye? That might happen one in a million. You can't say that.
I think it depends on how they approach you. If you see a pretty face, okay, that may, you know, I think outer appearance is important, mm-hmm. because it says a lot about how you keep yourself up. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to know anything deeper, you just looking at me like, oh, I'm sexy, or you just care about my physical features, then we don't have nothing else to talk about.
Yep. Even still, it's sometimes you can tell, and sometimes I really can't tell. Like, if you know, a guy be like, you know what, you're really pretty. Oh, okay, thank you. And keep going. He'll be like, what's your name? Don't even worry about it.
Like, no, like, you know, you really just wanted to tell me I was attractive, and since I was nice, you just thought, you know, let's kind of keep it going. No. Like, when you made the comment about feet, I thought about this man in Walmart. He was just like, you are so pretty. He was on the phone. He's like, God, let me call you back. Let me call you. You are so pretty. Anybody ever tell you how pretty you are? Sir, it's cool. All right, thank you. And look at your feet.
I've gotten that before.
You got some pretty feet. And I was like,
I wish I could say why.
Why are guys so big on feet?
That is
because weird. You want the answer for that?
Yes.
Okay. The answer for it.
All right, world.
Okay.
Drum roll.
Jesus.
Okay. The way this was explained to me, because I didn't start thinking about this until this lady in high school. She was an older lady, my dad's friend. She told me, she said, if a woman don't take care of her feet, please believe she's not taking care of any other part of her body, hygiene-wise. Mm. So, I didn't believe it, because I was like, that's her feet? Like, but then, I'd have an instant. Like, I started actually paying attention, because, you know, I try to listen to what a woman say. You know, I really try to pay attention because I want to know. I want to know how to please my lady. So I'm going to listen to what a woman says. So I start watching. I'm like, okay, let me see. I see them chip toenails and all that crap. And then I start looking. You don't even have to get to the hygiene part. You see chip toenail, she got a chip toenail attitude. She got a chip toenail lifestyle. She got a chip toenail way of doing things.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I'm not saying that's 100% because some people dance, yeah. Sometimes it just chipped while you was at work or you was doing something. That's different.
You
but I'm
play
saying,
sports,
yeah,
you can
yeah,
dance.
Yeah, yeah, all of that. But if her feet ain't ever done,
so it's consistency.
Yeah, if your feet ain't ever taken care of, if you're not ever trying to make sure that you look presentable. Not because your physical matter, then how are you taking care of your inside? How are you? What is your thinking going on? Because if you don't care about how you look,
yeah.
Do you care about how you sound? Do you care about what you think?
The feminist in me is going to speak up on that one. Okay. I just feel like, you know, this is still just my shell. It's not going to really speak to who I am. I need my nails done now.
They don't look bad, though.
I got
they
you.
Look terrible.
But they don't look... Okay, see.
They look terrible.
I seen one chip on one of them. But I already scoped the toenails. So
okay.
The toenails is good.
Well,
but I'm talking about busted joints. I'm talking about, like, you consistently, like I said, you consistently come through and you've never gotten your feet taken care of. And if you do get them taken care of, they have done, they stink, and all that stuff. Yeah, hygiene-wise is what it's like. If she's taking care of her feet, 9 times out of 10, she's taking care of herself.
Separates us, but I know you're going through the same thing I'm going through in this zone of the unknown, reaching the horizons of places that never been flown. I'm so gone, I'll be back before dawn. Hold on as I step upon heaven gates. Am I asleep or awake in my dreams?
If somebody's in a situationship, how will they know if one quick advice on how to get out or something that's gotten you out? Situationship, run. Don't even waste your time. It's not worth it at the end of the day. And honestly, if you don't have a relationship with that person to where you can come to them and be like, hey, what is this? What are we doing? It's not even worth it at this point. If you can't even have a comfortable conversation with them about the status of your situationship.
Situationship, to avoid them would be my advice to y'all. The way you do it, prioritize and let them know your priorities in the beginning. First thing you tell them, it should sound like this. I'm gonna give you quick. My relationship with God is first. My relationship as far as where I'm going with him is number one. My career goals and everything that I want to do for myself, education wise, career wise, number two. Three is my family. Four, then you might come in if I don't have no friends or anything that was before you. So if you're okay with that list of priorities and you think you still have an attraction to me and I still have an attraction to you, then guess what? We can talk. And that will only come based on my priorities. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we good. If nothing can come up with that, if they not happy with that, move on.
Yeah, I think laying it out in the beginning is important. And it's hard to do that sometimes because you get caught up, you hanging out with them. But definitely keep that in mind. And Christ and God comes first.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you could talk about that, that's a commonality, I think, that will drive your entire relationship. And everything else got to fall under that. And be comfortable and single. Don't feel like you always got to be in a relationship.
Ooh, that's another one. We should do another one on that.
Yes.
Don't get in a relationship.
Yes, we got to come back on it.
We just do all single people for that one.
Yes.
All right. I want to be in on that conversation.
All right, y'all. This has been Christ Over Culture. Tune in to the next episode. And thank y'all so much for being on the show.
No problem.
This has been so fun.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Nothing fancy, just the truth. My diary is the proof. In my words, maybe you can hear you. Only time separates us, but I know you're going through the same thing I'm going through in this zone of the unknown.